It's Thursday night, December 15th, 2016. Caleb, I wanted to talk to you about overcoming adversity. It's been on my mind because you've seen a lot of it and experienced a lot of it. You saw Mike in his struggle with cancer. You've recently seen a lot of people in mourning as they had to deal with the unexpected death of Jim Cheeks. You know of people, I mean, not to say that you know personally, but you know that there were people who lost their lives, who lost their businesses, their homes in the fires in Gatlinburg and surrounding areas. I'm sure you heard of the bus wreck in Chattanooga where children died just, you know, on their way to school or on their way back, which it was. It doesn't really matter. And so you've seen a lot of people around you struggling with adversity. You've had to deal with adversity, that is, with difficult situations. Moving to Florida, being away from where you were comfortable, just trying to get a passing grade in math. Dealing with, you know, us as your parents. That's not easy. We're not the greatest parents. And I know I've got worlds to... There are just things, if I had to do it all over again, yeah, I would definitely try and do things better and be a better dad. And I hope you come to become a, live a great life and, reach your full potential. And if you do, I think it'd be more in spite of me than because of me. But all this to say that, it's not easy being our son. That in and of itself has brought adversity. And then you have trials that I don't even know about, struggles and hardships and pains. So how do you deal with it? Life has a way of being like the ocean, where you have just wave after wave of problems and difficulties, and some are small, some are huge. And it's not always like that. It's not, there's peace in between the waves. But they come consistently. That is the problems and difficulties of life. So how do you deal with it? How do you make the best of it? Well, there's one key that I want to share with you tonight. And that is, how do you look at the situation? There's a lot of things in life. If you look at them on one side, they look horrible. You turn it around, look on the opposite side, or look on the inside, and things look good, or things look better, or things don't look as bad. Take a book. You might look at a book and the cover's worn and torn and the artwork's terrible. But then you read the book and it's a great book. You look at, you just take an object and you turn it and you look at it in your hand and at one angle it doesn't look that great. You look at it at another angle and you might see a beauty you didn't see there before. The Bible speaks to this idea. And I'll start with Romans chapter 5. Paul, who used to persecute Christians, at this point, following Jesus with all his heart, and he writes to the church in Rome. And in Romans chapter 5, he says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith," justified meaning declared innocent, become innocent. as opposed to guilty. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Just pause real quick. See how he emphasizes here peace and joy and faith? Those are huge parts of following God and Jesus, and there's so much peace and joy to be found in them as you get to know them. But let me go on. Verse 3, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. What are tribulations? They're problems, difficult situations, times of adversity. We also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Paul said, you know, we glory in tribulations. In other words, you know, it's almost like you get excited about tribulations, hard times, difficult circumstances. You find joy in them. But why? Because you know that, we know that, tribulation produces perseverance. If you can make it through the trial, that'll build your perseverance. Perseverance builds character. Character leads to hope. Now, think of it this way. With pain comes gain. I know the normal saying is no pain, no gain, but I like the positive. I like a more positive phrase, with pain comes gain. We accept that when it comes to physical exercise. You're great at working out, and you'll pump those muscles, and you'll make them sore, and you'll push them to their limits in order to build more muscle. You're willing to endure the pain, the physical pain, because there is physical gain that you want from that. You know it will lead to the physical gain you want. When it comes to spiritual exercise, though, we normally deny this principle that with pain comes gain. We normally don't think in terms of, hey, this spiritual exercise, this spiritual trial, this spiritual pain I'm going through is going to make me spiritually stronger. We don't normally think that way. And maybe it's because with physical exercise, you choose when you want to start, you choose when you want to stop most of the time, unless you're working a job where it's very physically demanding. Most of the time, when it comes to physical exercise, you're choosing, hey, I'm going to do this now, and it's going to stop at this time. You know, I'll decide when it stops. Spiritual trials, spiritual exercise isn't that way most of the time. There are things like, okay, I'm going to take this time and I'm going to pray. That's a spiritual discipline. That's spiritual exercise. I'm going to take this time and I'm going to read God's word. I'm going to memorize some verses. That's spiritual discipline. That's spiritual exercise. But the trials of life, you know, you don't get to choose most of the time when they start, and you don't normally get to choose when they end. So they are more frustrating that way. And that's why I think it's a little bit harder for people to recognize, hey, with pain comes gain, when it comes to the spiritual, when it comes to our character, when it comes to our mind, our soul. But that's what Paul's saying is glory in tribulations, because, you know, your trials, if you endure them, okay, lean on God to help you through them, they're going to bring about so much good, perseverance and character and hope. James, the brother of Jesus, he writes and he says something very similar in his book in the New Testament. James chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You see, James said, if you fall, you know, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. When those trials come your way, when those waves of spiritual pain hit you, count it all joy. Instead of looking at it the way people normally look at it, like, oh, I can't believe this has happened to me. Why me? And they get consumed with anger and bitterness. You know, James is saying, count it all joy, you know, because you know that the testing of your faith produces patience. Trials test your faith. Trials test your ability to believe in and trust God. And if you endure the trial, if you're able to make it through it, you know, your faith will be stronger. And that's something to be excited about. I'll share with you one more. And then we're going to get to the example of somebody who did this very thing, who took their trials and they looked at it in such a way that it gave them strength to endure the trial. And that's what I want you to see, is that when you look at trials a different way, when you look at your spiritual hardships in a positive light, if you look at the good that will come from your spiritual hardship, it doesn't mean it will take away all the pain that you're going through, but it will give you joy and strength to endure the pain. Because you're looking at the gain that's going to come from it. Just like with the physical exercise, you're enduring the pain because you're looking at the reward of enduring the pain. It's the exact same way with this, with our spiritual exercise, our spiritual trials. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth. And he says, blessed be the God and Father, this is chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. See, your trials, here's another positive to look at. Your struggles will empower you. If you lean on God to help you through your struggles, they will empower you to help someone else going through something similar. Think of your cousins, Avery and Abby. They have gone through an incredibly hard trial with Wes leaving, with a divorce, with the breakup of their parents. If they've been able to find comfort in God through all this, they're going to have friends whose parents do the exact same thing. Their marriage falls apart. They're going to have friends who are having to deal with parents who are divorcing. And they're going to be able to comfort and help and cry with and be there for those friends as they go through that trial. So another positive to look at in whatever you're going through is, look, if I can endure this, if I can overcome this, then I'll have wisdom and knowledge that I can use to help somebody else who's struggling in a situation like mine. So we go through trials. We lean on God. God finds ways to comfort us. And then we share that comfort with other people. Now, speaking in terms of modern day life, I think Mike was probably the best example of this, of someone who took his cancer and made the best of it, took the cancer and somehow found the positives and made the best of what time he had left with his life. But biblically speaking, the example I want to use That's a modern day example. A biblical example I want to use is none other than Jesus himself. You see, Jesus was very unique in that he knew how he was going to die. He knew exactly what was going to happen. In fact, he told his disciples before it happened. If you look, one example, it happened on several occasions, but one example is in Mark chapter 10, verse 32 through 34. Mark chapter 10, now they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was going before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. Then he took the 12 aside again and began to tell them the things that would happen to him. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and to the scribes. And they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and scourge him and spit on him and kill him. And the third day he will rise again. Jesus knew the death that he was going to face. And I can't imagine what it was like for him, because he knew the Old Testament. You know, he read the writings of the prophets, the writings of Moses, and he knew when those writings were about him. And he would have read, for example, Psalm 22 that describes his own death. Dogs have surrounded me. The assembly of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. That's part of Psalms 22. He'd walk down a road, perhaps, and see someone being crucified by the Romans and know that that was his destination. That someday he was going to have to endure the pain that that person was enduring. And not just that, all the torturing that was going to take place even before he got to the point of being crucified. He knew about all of it. So how do you overcome a situation like that? How do you endure a trial like that? Especially when you're the Son of God and had the power to say no. What am I talking about? After Jesus' prayer in the garden, when Peter, you know, pulled out his sword, he cut off the high priest's servant's ear and tried to defend Jesus and save Jesus. You know, Jesus rebuked Peter for doing so. I'll read to you from Matthew chapter 26. Beginning at verse 51. Matthew 26, beginning at verse 51. And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Now we know in one of the other gospels that was actually Peter who did that. Verse 52, then Jesus said to him, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? In other words, 12 basically armies of angels. How then could the scripture be fulfilled that it must happen thus? So Jesus was telling people, don't you know, or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me more than 12 legions of angels? In other words, all he had to do was ask God. God would send as many angels as needed to save him from being crucified. He just had to speak the word and he wouldn't have to go through any of it. But he refused. He endured the torture. He endured the crucifixion because he knew that God's promises had to be kept, that God's word had to be fulfilled, that we had to be saved. How did he find the strength to endure it? Hebrews chapter 12 helps us know. This is Hebrews chapter 12. And by the way, in all these, I'm reading from the New King James Version. The writer of Hebrews says in the beginning of verse 1 of chapter 12, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, he's talking about in Hebrews chapter 11, he just listed a whole bunch of people who had great faith in God. That's the witnesses he's talking about. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. How did Jesus endure the cross? He looked to the joy that was set before him. He looked beyond the cross. He looked to the reward. He looked to being reunited with his Father, and he's now at God's right hand. He looked to all the good that would come from all the wonderful, he looked at all the wonderful things that would come if he would endure the pain, if he would finish the work, finish the job, despite how incredibly, insanely hard it was to finish. Because he looked at the joy that was coming. See, that is a key to overcoming adversity. Look, find a positive way to look at it. Look at the result. Look at what can come if you will endure the trial. Even if you fail, just the simple exercise of attempting to go through it and putting your faith and trust in God in the process will help you become stronger. Think of it this way. Sometimes I've helped you do a bench press, right? And sometimes there'll be too much weight on there. And you won't make it. You won't be able to push the bar up. Does that mean it didn't do you any good? No, it still did you good. The strain and the effort still made you stronger. It's just that you weren't able to push the bar all the way up. So sometimes these trials, you go through them, and yeah, you won't succeed. But that doesn't mean that just because you didn't reach your goal, it didn't help you. If you lean on the Lord and learn to trust him and pray to him and embrace his ways in your life, you will grow stronger whatever the waves are that life comes. You'll find a way, you'll find ways to make it through and overcome the pain. You just got to look at it, the situation, in positive ways to help you endure. I love you, son, and I hope this helps. And if you have any questions about it all, ask me, ask your mom, and hopefully we can help you make sense of what I'm trying to say here. God bless, and know that I love you.